Literary Hyperlinks, Michael Cunningham, born in 1952. Life and Works. Michael Cunningham was born in Cincinnati, Ohio, in 1952, and grew up in California. His novels include A Home at the End of the World, Flesh and Blood, and The Hours, which won the 1999 Pulitzer Prize for Fiction. More recently, Cunningham has published a nonfiction book, Land's End, A Walk Through Provincetown, and a new novel, Specimen Days. Focus on the text, The Hours, the plot. The interlocking narratives of The Hours take place on a single day in the lives of its three female protagonists, who live in separate locations in time and space. Connecting these three women is the novel Mrs. Dalloway, whose original working title was The Hours. In contemporary New York, we meet middle-aged socialite Clarissa Vaughan preparing a party for her friend Richard, a gay poet who is dying of AIDS, and who calls her Mrs. Dalloway because she reminds him of Clarissa Dalloway, the heroine of Woolf's novel. Meanwhile, in the London of 1923, we find Virginia Woolf herself struggling with the construction of Mrs. Dalloway and trying to fight off mental illness in the form of painful headaches and persecuting voices. Then we have Mrs. Brown, housewife in 1949, Los Angeles, who is reading Mrs. Dalloway, and who on this particular day is trying unsuccessfully to bake a birthday cake for her husband, a war hero who is now settled into civilian life, while looking after her sensitive young son. Gradually, this single day in the life of these three women unfolds in their separate time zones. Mrs. Brown, suffering from depression and feeling a failure in her role as a dutiful wife and homemaker, comes close to suicide when she abandons her son for the afternoon and checks into a hotel. Virginia Woolf, afraid of going mad but missing the sense of being alive, decides she must leave the suburban seclusion of her Richmond house and return to live in central London. Clarissa Vaughan, meanwhile, meditates on the lost promise of a kiss with Richard when they were both college students, and on the comfortable but somewhat emotionally flat life she now leads. The novel's three strands are brought together when Richard, like Woolf's character Septimus Smith, chooses to commit suicide rather than let the disease take him, and Clarissa, though she cancels her party, meets Richard's mother, who we discover is actually Mrs. Brown, now an old woman. In fact, The Hours both begins and ends with the suicide. The prologue to the story describes Virginia Woolf in 1941, no longer able to maintain her mental balance and drowning herself in the River Ouse. Feature and themes. The Hours is not exactly a rewriting of Mrs. Dalloway, although parts of it strongly echo and occasionally directly quote Woolf's words. It is a novel which skillfully redistributes elements of Virginia Woolf's text among the lives and thoughts of its characters, who include Virginia Woolf herself at the time when she began work on her novel. In so doing, it utilizes and, indeed, magnifies several key aspects of Woolf's style, free and direct interior monologue, the superimposition of past, present, and future, and the accidental parallels which exist between the thoughts and destinies of different characters. What links the three female protagonists of Cunningham's novel is an acute sense of their own being, as it is lived from moment to moment, together with the feeling that they are each playing a role that doesn't reflect their true inner self. They are also, in their different ways, trying to create something perfect. In Clarissa's case, it is a party for her dying friend. In that of Mrs. Brown, a cake for her husband's birthday. For Woolf, it is the novel Mrs. Dalloway itself. Initially, Woolf even imagines her heroine Clarissa in a similar situation, and decides that her failure in some apparently minor domestic task will cause her to break down and kill herself. In Cunningham's novel, this is in fact what nearly happens to Mrs. Brown, who, after failing to make a perfect cake, abandons her son and hides away in a hotel room where she reads Mrs. Dalloway and reflects on how simple it would be to end her own life. However, Wolf then changes her mind about Clarissa's fate. It will not be she who dies. And in parallel, almost in answer to Wolf's decision, Mrs. Brown, whom we meet 8 years after Wolf's own suicide, decides not to kill herself. A logic of contamination. The contemporary section of the house is set during the AIDS epidemic, of which Richard and several of his gay friends are victims. However, more than simply representing a tragic historical reality, the idea of viral transmission becomes part of the overall organizing structure of the novel, and even acquires a constructive meaning. Each alternating chapter and its related protagonist is contaminated by the preceding one and contaminates in turn that which follows. The principal vehicle for this contamination is Wolfe's novel. What distinguishes real great books, Cunningham suggests, is the way that, like viruses, they stubbornly survive over time and space to transmit their effects from one reader and one period to another, becoming part of the reader's own consciousness. The house itself, in fact, in reaffirming the power of Wolfe's work and serving as its host, becomes part of the transmission process. Cunningham's novel is also contaminated by Wolfe's style. However, rather than simply copying Wolfe, Cunningham adapts her technique to mirror the situations and lifestyles of his own American protagonists. Thus, the chaotic New York streets, with their noise, taxi cabs, transvestites and homeless beggars, through which Clarissa walks to buy flowers, are very different from the more ordered world of 1920s London. Similarly, the picture we have of the quiet domestic tyranny of Mr. Brown's life in post-war suburban America, with its friendly but suspicious neighbors, makes it appear, simultaneously, more socially fair and open, and yet more artificial and claustrophobic than the interwar English upper-middle-class house with its gardens and servants.